Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa Conference Call. Today we are very fortunate to have Her Grace Jayashree Devi Mataji to enlighten us on Srimad Bhagavatam. So thank you so much, Mataji, for giving a valuable association and time to all of us. Now I would like to hand over the call to you, Mataji. Thank you so much for giving your association. Hare Krishna.
All right. Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. All glories to your service. You're so fortunate. All right, is Shamagori on?
Yes, Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
All glories to Prabhupada. I heard you had some kind of surgery. I hope you're feeling okay.
Yeah, I had surgery yesterday, Mataji. But I'm okay now. I can hear class. Okay. Sri Chaitanya Manivisyam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadanayam Dadati Svapadantika Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jita Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavam Cha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Tam Sijivam Padaitam Savadutam Parijana Setam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Sri Vishak, excuse me, Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishak Nitamscha. Hey Krishna Karna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagat Pate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radhakanta Namostuta. Tapta Kansha Nagorangi Radhe Vrindavani Sri. Vrishabhanustita Devi Pranamami Hari Priya. Vansha Kalpa Trivasha Kripa Sindhu Veva Chapati Tanam Pavanevya Vaishnavi Yo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adwaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jaya Glories to Sri Guru and Sri Guranga. All glories to Lord Chaitanya's magnificent and munificent mercy. So today we are reading from the beautiful Srimad Bhagavatam, and this is Canto 4, Chapter 27, and it is also verse 27. So, Shamagori, if you could do your more perfect Sanskrit, that would be kind of you.
Kalakanyodita vacho nishamya yavaneshwara chikirshu chikishur deva guhyamsa sasmitam tam.
Thank you. Someday I would like a Sanskrit teacher. All right, so here we go. Kalakanya, by the daughter of time, Udita expressed vacha words, Nisamya hearing. Vana Ishvara, the king of the Yavanas, Chitrusha, desiring to execute Deva of providence, Guyam, confidential duty, Salahi, Sam Smitam, smiling, Tam, her, Abhasta, addressed. Sorry, I have a bit of a cold here. Translation. After hearing the statement of Kalakanya, daughter of time, the king of the Yavanas began to smile and devise a means for executing his confidential duty on behalf of providence. He then addressed Kalyana as follows. Purport, which we are fortunate to have, purports by Srila Prabhupada. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said, actually, the supreme controller is the personality of Godhead Krishna, and everyone is his servant. Yavna Raj, the king of the Yavanas, was also a servant of Krishna. Consequently, he wanted to execute the purpose of Krishna through the agency of Kalyana. Although Kalyana means invalidity and old age, Yavna Raj wanted to serve Krishna by introducing Kalyana everywhere. Thus, a sane person, by attaining old age, will become fearful of death. Foolish people engage in material activities as if they will live forever and enjoy material advancement. But actually, there is no material advancement. Under illusion, people think that material opulence will save them. But although there has been much advancement in material science, the problems of human society, birth, death, old age, and disease, are still unsolved. Nonetheless, foolish scientists are thinking, excuse me, that they have advanced materially. When Kalyana, the invalidity of old age, attacks them, they become fearful of death. If they are sane. Those who are insane simply do not care for death, nor do they know what is going to happen after death. They are under the wrong impression that after death there is no life, and consequently they act very irresponsibly in this life and enjoy unrestricted sense gratification. For an intelligent person, the appearance of old age is an impetus to spiritual life. People naturally fear impending death. The king of the Yavanas tried to utilize Kalakanya for this purpose. And I was asked to read the next verse, which is number 28. The king of the Yavanas replied, after much consideration, I have arrived at a husband for you. Actually, as far as everyone is concerned, you are inauspicious and mischievous. Since no one likes you, how can anyone accept you as his wife? Purport.
After much consideration, the king of the Yavanas decided to make the best use of a bad bargain. Kalyana was a bad bargain, and no one liked her. But everything can be used for the service of the Lord, lest the king of the Yavanas try to utilize her for some purpose. The purpose has already been explained. That is, Kalyana as Jara, the invalidity of old age, can be used to arouse a sense of fear in people so that they will prepare for the next life by engaging in Krishna consciousness. So, Om Agena Timrandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksur and Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. We are definitely born in the darkness of ignorance and are very, very merciful spiritual masters are kindly opening our eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. So we offer our most humble and respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of such spiritual masters. All glories to Srila Prabhupada for making the journey over to the wasteland of America. So, today's society is headless. Right? There's no leader in this world. There's no leaders that are leading the countries. Some are doing maybe a better job than others. They're spiritually uneducated, they're uncultured people, and their only direction is to make money and to gain power. Very unfortunate situation. We see by the situation that the people are totally disturbed. They don't know what to do. They don't know what their self-interest is. They're being misled by poor leaders that are misled from previous association and present association. So what are the people doing now? They're just running, looking for some kind of pleasure in this wasteland. So they're not thinking about death, because that's something nobody wants to think about, right? It kind of pops the bubble of life. Oh, death. What's that all about? You know, we'll just forget about that and we'll enjoy today. So what are they doing? They jump out of airplanes, they go rock climbing up mountains, and they fall and break their limbs, and they're doing all kinds of very dangerous activities. And it's just for the thrill, because they don't know that this life has a great importance, that this human life has such a great importance. So they are thrill-seeking, many of them. So many activities are geared towards thrill-seeking. And so many people, because they have so much energy, are using their energy in that way. I mean, if you think about it, with all the money and energy that's put into activities of thrill-seeking in this world, what great things could be done? Prabhupada said there's no lack in this world. The lack is the intelligence to use things for their best purpose, for Krishna consciousness, for the whole world's benefit, actually. Srila Prabhupada, his I don't want to say thrill seeking, but he took his thrill-seeking or dangerous activity by getting on a boat and coming to the West, a untamed wilderness of the West, New York City, where all kinds of madness goes on. So at 70, I just had a birthday, I'm 72. So to get on a boat at 70 years old and cross an ocean for a month with no money, not knowing anybody, having no idea what you're going to meet over there, having been told and warned not to come, Prabhupada was the ultimate example of proper way to use the desire to seek a thrill or a challenge at the end of his life. He was so brave. These people are brave because they're going to jump out of an airplane and hope that the parachute opens, which actually I do know someone in Hawaii. Years ago, they came to the temple, and their reason for coming was because they jumped out of an airplane and their parachute did not open. And as they were falling to the earth to be smashed into pieces, they promised God if he saved them, they would dedicate their life to his service. And so they did smash to the earth. I believe they fell in a, you know, when people keep hogs, they have places where there's wet ground and, you know, hogs like to wallow in. So they landed in something like that. So they didn't break, you know, they didn't die. So they did come to the temple and they did take up devotional service. What a way to enter devotional service. So I've been reading the Chasing Rhinos with the Swami Part 2. And Shama Sundar, I mean, these are rough and ready Americans. They had done so many things. I mean, if you read the books, it's not something the lifestyle is not something any cultured Indian person or from any country would take up. But these rough and ready Americans had done so many things to find pleasure, seek thrills. And here's Shama Sundar in his youth with all that energy and all that background of thrill seeking. And what happens? Krishna gives him Srila Prabhupada. And then he gets to use his energy for the thrill seeking to chase rhinos with Srila Prabhupada, to do things that nobody thought that could be done. They got on an airplane. Now, it's not when we get on an airplane, we're getting on like a jet and we're going to fly to America or fly to India. They got on a plane that was like a propeller plane. The cheapest flight they could possibly find. Malati explains that there was the cockpit and then there was a string that went to the rudder to navigate the plane with. I mean, can you imagine crossing the ocean on a plane like that? There were no seats. They sat on the floor. There was no bathroom. There was some kind of a burlap sack and some kind of a bucket of water or something like that. Just, I mean, it had to stop several times to refuel. What a risk. He's traveling with his wife, young wife, a bunch of other young devotees, a child, and they don't know if Prabhupada even got the message that they're on their way. This is not now when we can pick up a phone or make a message or WhatsApp. It was snail mail. And you could send telegrams, but I don't know if they had the facility. They didn't have any money. They had no money either. Can you imagine crossing to a foreign country, not knowing if the person that you're going there to meet even knows you're on your way? But maybe that's why Krishna picked the American youth to help Srila Prabhupada in the beginning, because they were daring. They could do anything. They were into it. So there they are, and they're chasing rhinos with the Swami. They're on their way, and Krishna made the arrangement. The Cross Maidan program, what an adventure. Well, I mean, they had no money. What a big, even for today, that's a big program to put on, where you have a tent where 20,000 people can sit, and they got, you know, this is the American thinking, I guess. They got this big balloon to go up that went up in the sky, hovering over the tent. Just, I mean, what a way to, wonderful way to dovetail your thrill seeking with Srila Prabhupada. And there's kind of a common saying, or that old age is not for sissies or wimps. You get all these different pains in your body that you didn't know were there. You can't move as well. You know, your limbs really don't work. You can't like run up the stairs anymore, although you mentally can. Your digestion doesn't work as well. You got to be more careful what you eat. You get high blood pressure, low blood pressure. You start losing your vision more and more generally. Your mind definitely isn't as sharp. You become, even my father was a captain in the army. He was on MacArthur's staff. He was, you know, he fought in the war. Even him, such a brave man, when he was very old, well, he was in his late 80s, actually, he was fearful. You could see his ability was so limited, his ability to tolerate, and things were more fearful to him. It was very noticeable. You know, it's just not the same. I can see why you need to focus on your spiritual life as much as possible in your youth. So, Kalyana. She's time, and she's taking us through to invalidity. And then death is very apparent. Like so many devotees my age are passing away. It's like my mother is 94, 95 now. And she has no friends from her past. Everyone has gone. So at my age, we're seeing all these devotees are moving on. So what is that when Yudhishthir Maharaj, he saw those who are living are thinking that they will not die. This is a purport from Srila Prabhupada. They see that their friends are dying, but somehow or other they think they are eternal. Maharaj Yudhishthir said that this was the most amazing thing in the world. No one thinks that he's going to die, although everyone else is dying. So in the purport of the verse that we just read, the king, he wanted to execute the purpose of Krishna through the agency of Kalakanya, although Kalakanya means invalidity or old age. Yavanaraj wanted to serve Krishna by introducing Kalakanya everywhere. Thus the same person, by attaining old age, will become fearful of death. Foolish people engage in material activities as if they will live forever and enjoy material advancement, but actually there is no material advancement. Under the illusion, people think that material opulences will save them. So the major thrust throughout the world is how to accumulate more and more. The leaders, the society, the media, movies, everything is geared towards how to get more material prosperity and how to have more things to do and things to use. So the youth, as they grow up, they're thinking, what's going to make me happy? If I get more cars or better cars, more money, they're thinking that this is where happiness is. So they do, some of them very responsibly, try and find a job to make money. But what happens when the economy goes wacko, like right now? We don't know. We don't know what the economic future is. So people are in a lot of distress because their bubble has been popped, or possibly maybe popped, and they might lose what they think is the goal of their life, right? When the Great Depression hit, how many wealthy people committed suicide because they thought, ah, it's over now. I just lost everything. Well, they didn't lose everything. They lost their money. They lost their toys. They lost the lifestyle that they thought was all in all. But they definitely didn't lose everything. Srila Prabhupada lost everything, right? He had a business, and then it says in the books that his servants or his employees stole everything from his business. But what did he do? He took it as Krishna's arrangement because he had knowledge. He understood that Krishna's in control. He understood that wealth is not the goal, although he wanted his wealth for doing what Bhaktisiddhanta told him to do, right? Now, here we have this society that we're surrounded by all over the world. And their goal of life is wrong. And so there's so much turbulence in the minds of people because they are thinking that happiness actually lies in the material realm. So people that don't have it are frustrated. People that have lost it are frustrated. There's a lot of anxiety in trying to get it. We need money, right? We need a place. We need things. It's nice to have a car that works. Nice to have a nice place to live. Nothing wrong with that. We need money. But it's not all in all. And we know that. So to live in such a way, to take from the society as much as needed to be comfortable and safe, and to utilize our access, the access that we have for others, for serving the mission, for advancing our own spirituality, using thousands of dollars to go to Mayapur or to go to Sadhusanga or to buy books or to preach with, to there's so many ways we can use our wealth. I personally am a saver. I save money. So my amount of money is very small compared to most people's money. So I feel that that's fine because now we have a difficult situation possibly, and then that money can be used for whatever, greenhouse or doing something with. So it's because we have this knowledge that we know that it's not the all in all. Says that the Sankirtan movement is the prime benediction for humanity at large because it spreads the rays of the benediction moon and increases the ocean of bliss and helps us to taste the nectar for which we're always anxious. So people are looking for satisfaction. They're looking for peace.
And they're frustrated by the society that they live in. They haven't, either they haven't had the good fortune of meeting a devotee yet, or coming across a movement of Lord Chaitanya, or they're not qualified to embrace it when it's come their way. And that's unfortunate. So the prime benediction, it's not becoming someone who's a wealthy business person. It's not being the most beautiful woman. It's not so many things. It's the prime benediction is meeting the Lord's movement, understanding the goal of life, and tasting the bliss that is there. People don't have access to that. And it's not, in our conditioned state, it's not that we're feeling blissful all the time. We're still materially contaminated, but we're on the path, as they say. So we have karma to get rid of. We have a lot of coverings to deal with. But we know that taste is there. So because we are in knowledge, we know that death is there. And Prabhupada said at one point, you keep that in the forefront, that death can happen any moment. And it's a fact. I mean, with the devotees that have passed away, who would have thought? Who would have thought that we would be bereft of their association? But they've gone on, and who knows when it's going to be our turn to meet that moment, right? Prabhupada said that death carries the devotee like a mother cat carries her kitten. With her teeth, but very carefully. And that death carries the non-devotee like a cat carries a rat. They have their bad habits, they have their karma, they have their consciousness that who knows where it is at the time of death. And it's very sad, actually. And we have the medicine, right? We have the direction, we have the way to help them transfer bodies. I do tours at the palace and I get to the changing bodies picture, which is big on the back wall of the palace. And it's one of my favorite spots to preach from because, and amazingly enough, last Sunday, I did the tours from 1:30 till 5. Every half hour, there was at least 2 to 10 people. Every single one of them, except two, were Westerners. Very, very unusual. Usually, the palace is full of Nepalis, different Indian groups, you know, people that are already knowing that this is a temple and that they're coming here for whatever spiritual reason, making a pilgrimage. But these people are all Westerners. And it's so nice. You can't exactly preach to them the same because they don't generally have a very deep base of spirituality. But I turn to them and I say, if someone were to ask you who you are, what would you say? You would say, I'm this body. You would say, I'm a woman, I'm American, I'm this, I'm that. I said, but in reality, are you this skeleton with these muscles? Is that really you? Or are you the soul that's using this body as a vehicle? I said, this picture is from the Bhagavad Gita.
and Krishna is speaking to his friend Arjuna. And Bhagavad Gita is read at universities all over the world in their philosophy 101 classes. These are things they can identify with. And then I tell them the verse. As the eternal soul passes in this body from birth to youth to old age, the soul leaves the body at the time of death, the eternal soul, and the self-realized soul is not bewildered at this time. So then it's a platform. And I've seen in different places when people go out to preach on a college campus, they get that little diorama of changing bodies. It's a very good tool, actually, because it's a good platform that anybody can see from. Just that information puts them in a whole different place. Simple knowledge, and Prabhupada would say it over and over and over again, you're not this body. Please believe me, you are not this body. Because we're so conditioned. To us, we're this body. It's just the reality of our existence. But when you understand you are not that body, the whole picture changes. It's like you're walking around and you're like, God, what is that? Oh, yeah. And then someone comes along and goes, hey, you know what? Oh, yeah, yeah. That's what it's all about. And that's what Prabhupada did for me. Personally, he gave me that vision right there. And it was like, wow, the whole picture changed. Very simple. So when someone meets a devotee, if there's some opportunity, even if you make a pamphlet up with the changing bodies picture and just explain, their life will change. If they can understand this one little factor, it makes all the difference in the world. Just, it lets them know that it takes the fear away of, not. I think death is always fearful for everybody because we're conditioned. Death means the end of our present existence. And who is not afraid of that? Not really knowing. Intellectually, we know, but we don't really know. It's not like we're getting out of one car that we can see, getting into another car that we can see. There is a point where we can't see. So that's fearful. It's fearful for everybody. But because we've been given this knowledge that death is not the ultimate in our life, it is there, it has to be dealt with, right? No way to get away from it. But we know that there's more to the picture. And we know that our activities in this life are going to guarantee us a better situation. Krishna says it in the Bhagavad Gita. It gives us a better situation. So, unless you have that little bit of knowledge, which is great knowledge, it's not little knowledge, but it's a little bit of knowledge. If you can understand that and know, and it doesn't matter what path they take spiritually, if you can wake them up, if they can wake up somehow or other, their life will change and they'll understand, hey, the goal of life is not what I thought it was. It's not what's being fed to me by the media. And Krishna brings people here, like the tours that I did last weekend. Some of these young people were very aware. You know, they understood that a lot of stuff I was saying, a lot of people do. They get a little bit of knowledge here and there, but the devotees have so much more. that it enhances what they either intuitively feel, or maybe they had some progress in their past life. I mean, I must have had some progress in my past life. Not much, but something that brought me, or either it was just Krishna's mercy, but I was seeking. There's a Christian, seek and ye shall find. So Jesus, when he spoke very simple parables. He spoke simply to the people because they couldn't understand. You know, they really couldn't understand much. And the Bible talks about karma. As you sow, so shall you reap. When you put a seed in the ground, whatever seed you put in, I have a garden going. I have one behind my house and I have, let me show you. These are the zucchinis that I picked out of my garden yesterday. And I've had like 10 of them already. And they're not hard. The skin's not hard. The seeds are small and soft. You know, I put zucchini seeds, in some cases seeds, some cases plants, in the ground. And I reaped zucchini. It's simple. Christ spoke very simply. So what does that mean? When you tell that to the Christian people or the Westerners, they understand some, but the law of karma is what he was talking about. You know, what we do, the seeds we sow in this world are the plants and the fruits that we are going to get back. And when people put the two together, it helps them step up in their spiritual life. It helps them get to another plateau of vision. So what they do guarantees them a certain result. So what does that mean to them? It means that if they're doing foolish, demoniac nonsense. I mean, pick up a newspaper. Most people don't read the news on a newspaper anymore, I don't think. But just look online. I mean, it's to me, it's frightening. What's happening in the world right now is frightening. Portland, Oregon. It's like, where are we? Where are we? What's happened to our quiet little planet? It's like someone just like pulled the plug, and there's just, it's a very special year. And it's difficult, but it's very thought-provoking. So it's a good opportunity. When Prabhupada came, the youth was like this. The youth were rebelling against the system. They were not so much like is happening now, but a little bit. And the police reacted the same way. Radhanath Maharaj talks about being on the campus, I think it was in Chicago, and they were tear gassed. This was the youth of America standing up against the system of government. They wanted the youth to go to Vietnam and get killed. For what? For what? A completely useless war. Completely useless. So the big guys at the top that are running the government are calling the shots and misleading people and making a mess of things. And people don't want it. They're going to stand up and say, hey, stop, you know. So there's all this unrest. But Prabhupada found this to be a fertile ground for preaching. He gave them an opportunity. Now, okay, granted, we can't sit in a park and have a bunch of people sit around us. It's social distancing. You have to have your mask on, and for good reason. But still, the way the media is right now online, I was looking at Shankarananda did a class for the Baltimore group a few weeks ago. Shankarananda and his wife, Govinda Priya, lived in New Vrindavan for some time. And he was a great preacher, and she actually was too, which I didn't know until right before she left, she started giving class. And now she's got this great website, just very well done, and it's got recipes, and I can't tell you what it is. If you look on Facebook under Govinda Priya, you'll probably find her. They're living in Spokane, I believe. Spokane, no. Sacramento, California. Anyway, it's a great website, and all kinds of people, I'm sure, will go there. She's got all kinds of different venues, and but knowledge intertwined, beautiful stuff, but very modern. Something that any American, you know, thinks with yoga, and but very Krishna conscious and very peaceful. And so people are looking for that now. So if you can rack your brain and find a way to do something. You know, I fortunately have New Vrindavan. I guess because Krishna knows I'm just a lazy person and have no ability to come up with ideas, he mercifully let me stay here. So I can go to the palace and the people are coming and I can preach to them. Or I can walk down at the temple. A lot of Westerners coming now. Not a lot. I mean, a lot means when there's nobody coming and there's five Westerners in a day or 20 Westerners in a day or whatever. That's a lot. I mean, we are actually hurting here in New Vrindavan because our income for keeping things going is the pilgrims that come. Our guest lodge, our restaurant, you know, the gift shops. All of that is very depleted. I think we have 16 people here this weekend, where last year we probably had 300. So our finances are hurting. And, you know, Krishna's arrangement, Krishna's mercy, somehow or other. New Vrindavan goes through stages. It is a holy dham. It's a Pushpa Samadhi. It's a Tirtha. And, you know, Krishna's in control. So New Vrindavan was extremely poor in the beginning. The devotees had a room that was like 10 by 10 for them and their kids. They had no bathroom. They had just like outhouse facility. Their bath was just a room with a big bucket of water. They'd have to break the ice to pour over their head. Fortunately, I wasn't here at that time because I am from Hawaii and I probably wouldn't have done too well here. I mean, we were poor in Hawaii, but we had a house. We would go to the market. We'd have lots of bananas. We'd get free. And, you know, our austerity was pretty simple. But so New Vrindavan has, you know, been so poor. And then they had the heydays, the palace opened, and so many people were coming, there was so much money, and then there was a whole disaster that happened, took everything out of New Vrindavan. The people left, the money, there was nothing. We had 300 cows or more, 700 cows and no money. It was like, oh my God. You know, there was, people didn't get money here. Originally, no one got a salary here. And when there was no money, there was really no money. We could hardly pay the bills. And then, you know, Kaladri came and started the fundraising, the gas thing hit. New Vrindavan just happens to be over property that has a lot of Marcellus shale and Utica. So there was a lot of money coming in recently. But now the gas thing is down. The pilgrims are down, and who knows, maybe we're going to go back to having to be self-sustaining. But Prabhupada had told New Vrindavan he wanted self-sufficiency for New Vrindavan. And although it hasn't been the forefront of the thrust of New Vrindavan, because when you have 40,000 people coming to your place, you have to spend time with them. And there's not so many devotees here. And now most of them are on salary. Just 1 minute, I have to shut this window. It's really in my eyes. Whew. The sun is moving, so it was coming right into my eyes. So now we have no basic income, and it switched from being a community where everyone just worked for the good of the whole temple and lived just very simply with whatever, you know, the temple provided food and lodging and stuff like that, to being a place where, I have to say, almost everybody gets a salary. And some of the salaries are quite big, quite big. I mean, when I was the temple president, I got $300 a month. I was the temple president and the head pujari. Now, if you can figure how many hours a week that is, it's a lot. And now you have two people doing that same service, getting 1,000 times more, a lot more money. So now things are depleting. Money is becoming scarce. And who knows, if it comes to the point where there is no income here, then we have to see who's going to stay and serve the project still and how to subsist. But we have got our high tunnels now. We have our cows, our milking cows. We have a lot of land. We're going to start selling more land. People can buy land and build a house here, which people are starting to do. Who wants to be in the city if the economy has a problem? Anyway, so with knowledge, we're able to dovetail our life in such a way to progress. But the people of the world, they're just bewildered. They're bewildered, they're afraid, they don't know what's going to happen with the society, and they don't have any good association. So we, ISKCON is like a drinking hole in the desert. There's actually so much people can gain from the association of the devotees. And that's why Prabhupada wanted the books to go out, because then people can get some direction. They can connect. You know, they're like plugs. Like plugs that are not connected. They need to be connected. And that's our service. Plugging people in to the spiritual outlet of Krishna consciousness. If they're going to go and be a Christian, fine. But take it up and make it an everyday part of your life. Not something you do just at Christmas, not something you do just at Janmashtami. Oh, I come, I've given some money, and now I go do any damn thing. It's not going to help, right? People are, their intelligence has been misled. There was a verse I was reading in Hawaii, and it was talking about the youth of the age being victimized. People are victimized by the society. And so finding a way to build a better society is what we are endowed with. However, Bhaktitirtha Maharaj, he would do what he had, the, can't remember what it was called. I know it was called the Spiritual Institute. but it had a more spiritual institute for higher education, something like that. And that made a number of wonderful devotees. And some of them, I've heard them say, they had no idea that it was connected with the Hare Krishna movement. For months, they didn't know. Or maybe even years, some of them. They couldn't have been years, but anyway, they didn't know. So they were given knowledge, they were given association, but they didn't know it was connected with a spiritual movement. And when they learned, they took to it. You know, many of them, they got initiated, and they're still doing great service. So Bhaktitirtha Maharaj was very innovative. You know, and I think Devamrita Swami also has something called the lounge in New Zealand. You know, where people come and hear, maybe they hear some music, or like the festivals of color that we have. Of course, we can't have that now, but that kind of idea. You know, there's undiscovered gold mines of Krishna consciousness activities that will connect people. We just have to rack our brain, use our intelligence, and figure it out. Shama Sundar in San Francisco, the mantra rock dance. It's like, what? You know, what a spiritual thing is it, that the mantra rock dance? This is San Francisco in the 60s. Shama Sundar still has his long hair. They're just coming from being hippies. They're living with Prabhupada, basically, in San Francisco. They have an apartment for him. They have their own apartment. And how do you preach? So he comes up with the mantra rock dance. He and Mukunda Maharaj, I believe it was. And in those days, Jefferson Airplane, the Grateful Dead, Big Brother and the Holding Company, these were all like name bands of that generation that were just getting started. These were the rebellious hippies that were against the Vietnam War, looking for a counterculture, and they're just getting all these rock bands with all these messages of rebellion and, you know, this is Bob Dylan and all this. So what does Shama Sundar do? He comes up with, and there was a in Haight-Ashbury, a venue called the Avalon Ballroom, which is where these bands would play, and all the hippies would come with their drugs and light shows and dance and everything. So what does he do? He puts together the mantra rock dance, and they use the Avalon Ballroom. They have a light show, and they have some of these bands playing their music, and it's full of young people. And what happens at a certain point in time, they introduce Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada goes to the mantra rock dance. Nothing was below Srila Prabhupada's preaching. He walks in, the youth separate, he goes up on stage and gives a short lecture and starts chanting. They have a light show that has Krishna pictures on it. And this whole auditorium of youth is chanting Hare Krishna. What are the limits of our preaching? There are no limits of our preaching. I mean, different people, maybe even different spiritual masters of our movement can, you know, have different opinions. And some of them, I have to say, I don't fully understand why they say certain things. But in those days, everything was acceptable. And it worked. It worked. Prabhupada spoke to this youth. you know, like hundreds and hundreds of them. And he preached pure Krishna consciousness. And then he walked out and they went on. So we need to figure out how to engage people now. It's an opportune time. It's an opportune time. It's not that we don't have this or don't have that, or, you know, that it's, oh, nothing to do. Figure it out. Find a way. As Yugala Kishore from Farmington Hills, who opened a temple there, would say, I'm preaching to myself. You know, let's become inspired. It's not a time to become depressed or think, oh, you know, we can't do this, we can't do that. You know, Krishna's opening other doors. We just have to go for it. Chase the rhino with the swamis. All right, am I almost to my time? Hello, is anybody there?
Yes.
So what is my time? I have, and I've been talking for an hour. Am I supposed to stop now?
If you want to speak, you can speak, but you can get some questions now.
Okay. All right, well, I mean, Krishna consciousness is unlimited. You can go on talking. And you know, the sad thing to me, right now, New Vrindavan is going through turmoil. Why? I don't know exactly. But there, you know, there are factions in the community against certain management. And then there's some outside influence about the recent death of our dear Venkat. And they're just causing disruption, just terrible disruption to our donors, sending them emails, you know, justice for Venkat, as if the management had caused this situation. Just, I mean, there's a lot of turmoil. And who knows what the outcome will be. But, you know, sometimes turmoil is a good stepping place for making some changes and some needed changes in things. So we'll see. It's not that. So when you get together with people, it's very easy right now to have a conversation about the situation. You know, it's like, what is the good? What is the good of that? If you can actually solve something, that's one thing, but to talk about it. Better someone says, hey, what did you read today? Or what did you hear? What are your inspirations? What are your realizations for the day? How was your japa? You know, even in a spiritual group, you have this influence of Kali, as far as I can see. You know, so what's the solution? Dive head on into that, or raise the conversation to a better platform? You know, we're not always going to solve a problem by getting into the grumyakata of it. So we need to uplift the situation, or try to, or stay away from it and just go on with our spiritual advancement, individual spiritual advancement. The management side is always going to be a turmoil. If you're living in your own house and you're away from a temple, you can actually count your blessings there. Because living in the eye of the hurricane of a temple is not always peaceful and not always super Krishna conscious. So, you know, they have their advantages. Right now, New Vrindavan is experiencing turbulence, great turbulence, actually. And just have to ride out the storm and see what happens. But to keep our own consciousness focused in the right place where we're thinking about preaching and pushing on Krishna consciousness, that's always the safe place. Yeah, sometimes I get into a conversation with people recently and it's just so disturbing. I walk away like, I don't want to hear it, you know. It's just not worth it. It's not worth the time and the effort. Death is there. It's a good forefront. Okay, I have no time for all this. And then we read. Okay, oh, I get to give class tomorrow. Okay, let me read. Let me absorb myself, you know. Or Jai Doita Maharaj is giving class on the Tawako Zoom. Okay, let me go there. You know, we need to protect the situation by diving into our Krishna consciousness, chanting better rounds and becoming aware that Krishna consciousness, real Krishna consciousness and real association of devotees means hearing about Krishna. Not hearing about management, hearing about Krishna. Yeah. Not hearing about problems, hearing about Krishna. I mean, we have to deal with the mundane stuff, but it's not an all-in-all thing. Oh, did you hear this person did this and this person said this and, oh my God, you know, no. Did you know that Krishna stole the butter from Mother Yasoda's pot after he broke it? Oh my God, did you hear about that? Did you hear what she did? You know, change the atmosphere. That's what's going to help us. We don't need our organization of ISKCON to be a place of disruption. We need to individually and collectively make our association Krishna conscious, like you're doing here with the Sangha. It's so nice. All right, I think I'm finished. If anyone has any questions or concerns or corrections, I hope I haven't been offensive in any way.
Oh, Mataji. Hare Krishna, Mataji. Yeah, that was very nice talk. And sometimes, you know, Krishna is testing us because of this COVID-19. Lot of things are happening which we don't want. And, you know, a lot of devotees are getting affected because of that. And, you know, so much pain they have to go through, Mataji. So you are such a good example for us and such a good inspiration for us. That you are from the childhood, like a very young age, you are still in continuing Krishna consciousness. See, continuation goes in mood of goodness. Passion you have, you can start anything. And ignorance, you can stop anything. But continuing is very much important. And you are doing it. So we have to, you know, just continue our Krishna consciousness and serving Krishna and Srila Prabhupada until the end of our life. So it's a very nice you gave class for us, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I'm not a good example, but I am still here. So Krishna's been kind and tolerated me for many years.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much. Every time we hear from you, there is so much goodness and positivity in the hearts of the people who are listening to you. you just reflect that mood so much. I really liked the entire session as you were talking about the various experiences of different devotees and how everything is so can be utilized so beautifully in Krishna consciousness, about how Srila Prabhupada, he didn't think that, oh, this is a rock band or a place where Krishna consciousness may not be applicable. He used every situation and everything was welcome. And towards the end, what you spoke about the community, that is also so important for people to know. I mean, instead of putting your head into all this, it would be so nice if everyone can just focus on reading scripture and getting joy from that. Really, Mataji, when you come and you give your association, it does transform our heart to a great extent to embracing, I mean, to learn to embrace things with a lot of positivity and seeing the higher value of things. So thank you so much for that. That association is very, very important to us at this time. Thank you for coming on the call and spending your time with us so nicely. Thank you, Mataji. Feeling very grateful to you. Hare Krishna.
You know, Srila Prabhupada didn't always know what the future, I mean, how does anybody know the future exactly? And Prabhupada was faced, I remember years ago, we had the deprogramming. This was like in the 70s, the early 70s. The deprogrammers, the people, the parents of the young devotees didn't understand what was going on with the Hare Krishna movement. So they paid these people called deprogrammers. And the deprogrammers would literally forcibly kidnap the devotee, the daughter or son of these parents. They would kidnap them and try and deprogram their Krishna consciousness. And in some cases it worked, but in most cases the devotees just, as soon as, you know, the situation was over, which sometimes took months, they would run away and come back to the temple. So Prabhupada was dealing with having, you know, his disciples kidnapped because the parents were against their children becoming devotees and giving up everything, leaving school, or, you know, it was like a misunderstanding on the part of the parents. But in those days, kind of understandable that they would be concerned that their child is living in the temple with a bunch of other people, shaving their head. It's like it was so new. But Prabhupada, he wanted them defeated on a certain legal level, which happened. But he said things like, the dogs may bark, but the caravan will pass. In other words, the Krishna consciousness movement is the caravan going forward, and there's always going to be dogs barking at the caravan. So there's always going to be some type of disruption. But he also warned that the movement will have its weakness from the inside. And that's what we don't want. We don't want rebellious groups inside. You know, it's hard to stop this movement from the outside, but when it's on the inside, the foundation weakens. So we definitely don't want that. Sorry to interrupt whoever was going to talk.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you for telling that. Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji, for such a beautiful explanation. And everything you shared, it seems so nice to hear only. So I was feeling how precious it is to be like to do some service with Prabhupada and get the personal instruction and association. And now they are telling us what was their experience and joy in doing so. So thank you so much, Mataji. And I will request devotees, Mataji, how much time you have for questions and answers?
Well, I have until 9 o'clock.
Okay, thank you, Mataji. So I will request now devotees, if they have any questions or comments for Mataji, they can ask now.
And can I say one thing?
Yes, sure.
Years ago, I went to Mayapur and I went on the Parikram, which I love to do. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj was there and he remembered me from somewhere. And so when they finish for the day, they have dinner and then they sit around and they talk. You know, they have those speakers. And he asked me to speak one time. And I remember the very profound realization that I had read about all these holy places and pastimes of the Lord in the Navadvip area, the Parikram path. I'd read about it and I had experienced it that way. But when I got there and actually went to those places, the experience was just the same. And I realized that we're getting the experience through the books of being in these places with Krishna, with Prabhupada. As soon as you pick up a book, you are associating with Srila Prabhupada. It's really non-different than being in Prabhupada's personal association. I mean, I know there's differences, but still, it's really that you really do have this association. That was it. Thank you.
Hari Bol, Mataji.
Yes.
Dandavat Pranam, this is Sundari Gopidasi from Pittsburgh.
Hello, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Mataji, in the verse, there was a point about thrill-seeking. So children, devotee children also, you know, they see people, you know, doing some thrilling activities and they want thrill in their life. So recreation-wise, reading also, Radhika reads a lot. And she has read The Chasing Rhinos, 5 years, 11 months. But, you know, in Krishna consciousness, in ISKCON, we don't have so many thrilling reading material. So reading wise, recreation wise, how to give them a thrilling experience? Because they're seeking that. Radhika is like always, I don't find fun, she says.
So, well, you know, there's only so much we can do. We're in life. They're young people. You know, what can you do? There's other things they can read. You've already given them the foundation. They're interested in Krishna consciousness. They're reading. But the rest of the time, they're going to do what young people do. They may go rock climbing. They may jump out of an airplane someday. If they want to read those kind of books, a thrilling, you know, whatever, detective or whatever, or they're going to watch movies. You know, I don't think that you can really stop them. And I don't see that it works either. I know in our schools years ago, when the children were forced to, I mean, the word TV was unheard of. Movies, music, you know, it was like a condemned thing for the children years ago. But then when the school closed here, many of them just went head first. And they were doing it on the side anyway. They were reading things on the side. They would hide. They would take a walk. They would listen to music. You know, their ashram teacher wouldn't like it or would get mad at them. You know, it was like too much. And the youth, instead of appreciating the Krishna consciousness, became rebellious, many of them. I remember one of the devotees who's just served on the board here for probably 10 years. He had so many, you know, so much repression and unfortunate experiences in the school that he totally rebelled and said, forget it. I want nothing to do with Krishna consciousness, nothing. And he tried for, you know, some years to get away from Krishna consciousness. And Krishna was always coming into his way. And so finally he was going to college and he was totally, you know, averse to Krishna consciousness. And there was some devotees and they had, were doing some kind of a program outside with some kind of a kirtan, and the guy who was playing the mridanga couldn't play very well. So he asked the guy, he said, can I have that drum? Let me try. So the devotee gave him the drum, and of course he knew how to play it. But then he realized through this time in college, he realized how much he had gained from Krishna consciousness. Even though there was this negative stuff, even though there was this, you know, stopping them from doing everything a young person could want to do. You know, no radio, no TV, no movies, no books, no fun games, you know, very little of that. You know, it's like, it was like just too much. And he realized, but how much knowledge and how much more he knew than all the people in his school, how much more advanced he was on a personal level than these young people that he was around. And then he got his bearings again and went on and it became like one of the youth leaders of the Kuli Mela and those kind of things, and became a board member in New Vrindavan for 10 years. Very wonderful young man and very Krishna conscious and very respectful of Srila Prabhupada. I mean, my own kids, you know, they were denied everything from their youth, and especially my oldest son totally rebelled. But he went that way and then realized what he had and came back. You know, now he's got Prabhupada's name tattooed around his arm. You know, you walk into his house, there's Krishna things everywhere. You know, it's not that he chants 16 rounds, and it's not that he goes to the temple every day or listens to a lot of classes, he reads some, but he's a devotee. And his direction in life is there. And who knows what he'll do in the future. So we have to be careful not to box in our children. You know, they have life to face. They have to be able to live. And if they have certain desires, I mean, I'm sure you were there in Pittsburgh when that other family was there. And the son was such a nice devotee boy. He was coming all the time, helping serve prasadam. He was into it. And then he started going to college. And then at a certain point, I guess he didn't want anything to do with Krishna consciousness. And I'm not saying that this was the reason, because I really don't know. But the frustration of having parents that are on your head about, why are you doing that? And why are you watching that? And why are you going there? And don't you know you're not supposed to do that? And Krishna says, don't, you know. Anyway, he ended his life. You know, it's like we have to be careful. We're dealing with people here. And some of them may not be devotees. Some of them may not want to take up Krishna consciousness like we have. It's a fact. Even amongst like Advaitacharya and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you know, and Prabhupada himself, not all of the kids are going to like pick up the mission and go on with it. So to deny them something that they want may not be the best thing. Maybe just to add the facility and opportunity of Krishna consciousness is a better way to go about it. And if they embrace it, then it's on their terms. They're doing it. It's not being shoved down their throat. You know, when people get to a certain age, they want to do things their way. And as a parent, you can't really dictate. I mean, that's my own experience and just what I've seen. So I'm sure every case is individual, but I would be cautious.
Yeah. Thank you, Mataji. I mean, I got your point. Please pray for us, especially Radhika has just turned 10 and the little ones are with us.
My granddaughter just turned 10 also.
Oh, wow. But thank you very much, Mother. I mean, nice seeing you after so long.
Yes, we miss you. I look for you sometimes.
Yeah, maybe the next year.
Maybe next year.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dhanvat Pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and all glories to Guru Maharaj. Mataji, when you're speaking, we have so many speakers speaking, but when you are speaking, I'm just sharing my experience today, like with such a composure and with each and every point emphasizing, it was a real, real nectar. You know, like, I had some things to do and I had something open. I literally had to shut that down and I was listening to you. You know, that sometimes you are in so much of anxiety that, oh, this has to be done, that has to be done. But some classes, they just cool you down or they just calm you down. And your class was amazing. Amazing, Mataji. Thank you so much for your association. And really, really, as Prithvi Vilasini Mataji said, really grateful to you. I think your voice has some magic, you know. It is Srila Prabhupada's mercy in your classes also, and in your voice also. It just suits the heart. This is my personal experience today and I couldn't stop myself from sharing that. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I'm definitely not a scholarly person, but my meeting Srila Prabhupada, he was just so wonderful. And you know, every living entity has their own personal relationship with Krishna. And so also with Srila Prabhupada, everyone has their own personal relationship with Srila Prabhupada. So I think his mood sometimes comes through when I'm speaking. You know, Prabhupada says sometimes you can test your Krishna consciousness just to see, or you can observe to see that you are actually making progress. And I can see that I am a much better person than I was when I met Srila Prabhupada. You know, the desires and the tendencies our hearts change. We do become purified by the chanting, the association, and the hearing. It just makes you want to run faster because, I mean, who wants to be a demoniac, envious, angry person? Who wants those qualities? And the great souls, they don't have the tendency to find fault with others. That is a big one. And that's what's happening here in New Vrindavan and probably everywhere. It happens everywhere, even in a family. Well, you do that. It's your fault. You're like this. You should have done that. You know, it's like the story of Pariksha when he met the cow and the bull, and they had just been hurt by Kali. And Pariksha asked, who is your offender? Who is your abuser? And the response was, you know, eternal time. Oh, like my karma. They didn't point fingers at Kali, because, and in the purport, it says that by, or perhaps it's actually even the verse, by finding that fault with the other person, you get also the reaction of that fault. I'd have to look it up and see the exact wording. But it's like, okay, that is a real big awakening. And when people don't know a full situation and have that tendency, they can make a very unpleasant situation for others, which I have been experiencing recently through emails that's being sent and petitions. And, you know, it's like whoever is doing this knows part of the story. Although they think they know the whole thing, they're wrong. They're totally wrong, and I know it. But you cannot explain to someone that's, as they say, on a roll. They're going to, it's this, it's that, it's this, it's that. How are you going to say anything? How are you going to get a word in edgewise? Because they already think they know. But I know that they don't know. But they're not willing to listen. And so it creates a bad situation for everybody. So those kind of tendencies are something to avoid. You know, nothing is solved, and nothing but difficulty, confusion, chaos, and even harm to the actual society take place. It's just not a good thing. Well, I don't know exactly what happened with my video camera, but who knows? Can you hear me?
Yes, Mataji, we can hear you.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't know what happened to my video, but it went away. Okay. Oh, hello. Hare Krishna. How are you? I see your smiling face. There I am again. Oh, there I go again. Okay, any more questions?
Mataji, very, very beautiful. Yes, Mataji. Thank you so much for coming on video and giving such a beautiful class. Hare Krishna, very grateful to you, Mataji.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for being there.
Thank you, Mataji.
I'm not doing anything with my video. It just keeps going off. So I'm sorry, I can't make it go on.
Thank you, Mataji. Koti koti danvat pranam. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev ki jai. We see that how much pain when you see that there is a corruption in a temple management, and how much love for Shidham Vrindavan Dham and how much love for Srila Prabhupada. Mataji, we feel Prabhupada's presentation when you are talking with us. Feel so inner. Innerly, you explain all the stories and pastimes, and Mataji, touch to heart and learn so many things each time, Mataji. Give your association regularly. Koti koti dhanvat pranam. Hare Krishna. Like Srila Prabhupada, sister.
Well, good. I'm glad I have some value. You know, Malati always tells me I should do more classes and preach, and it's, I guess I don't feel, I listen to some of these classes and they're so knowledgeable, and the Sanskrit is going, and, you know, it's just, I'm definitely not of that category. But So I always hesitate, but I guess, and Prabhupada told me to preach, so I guess I should take it more seriously.
Mataji, bhav is very important, whether some are speaking so much sloka and so much knowledge from the Shishi Bhagavatam and Shishi Bhagavad Gita, but the bhav, the emotions, we feel what you are explaining us, Mataji. That is more important. Hari Bol, Hare Krishna, Koti Koti, Dangat Panam to your
Sev. Okay, okay.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Allah Pranam, our glorious Krishna, Prabhupada, and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Mataji, for coming and giving your association. Thank you, Mataji. And just by sharing your experience, Mataji, we get inspired. You don't need to share anything, Mataji. Your experience also enough for us, how you have been in since so long time, you are dedicated your life to Srila Prabhupada. That experience is enough for us, Mataji, to hear. Please come and give your association regularly, Mataji.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, yeah, I don't see anything else to do in life. What else is there to do in life? I mean, meeting Prabhupada gave a meaning to my life, a mission. You know, without that, what are you doing? You're living for yourself. Living for yourself, for your extended family, but you can still do that. But the greater mission in life, you're missing if you don't have something like this, some direction and...
Mataji, I have one question. Mataji, sometimes our services is there, and then in our heart, we like to read so much of scripture, our family, and sometimes we do some kind of services, and then it's very hard to manage sometimes, you know, to read Prabhupada book. Do you give any tips, Mataji, just to make sure we are reading every day Srila Prabhupada book? Sometimes I try to read, but sometimes gaps happen for me because I will become tired or some services is there, and then in my heart I was feeling, and the sense I feel I'm not connected with Krishna. Even though services is doing, everything is there, but again the philosophy, everything how Srila Prabhupada put in the his book is very convincing. And then how we can manage our sadhana services, especially reading, you know, Mataji? Well,
I mean, personally, I have to say, first of all, I heard Prabhupada on the lecture say, even if you can't study these literatures, you know, even just listening is, you know, everyone has different capabilities. I personally do not study every day. I do not read every day. I've always listened to Prabhupada's lectures, and now I listen a lot. You know, I'll listen to maybe 3 or 4 lectures every day while I'm doing different things, or I'll sit and sew and I listen. I do go to Bhagavatam class every day, either online. Yeah, generally right now online, usually at the temple, but right now online. You know, everyone has a different situation. If you can study Prabhupada's books, my hat off to you, my respects to you. I think that's what should be done, if you can. But I haven't found that it's my way. It's not my ability. I just couldn't do it. I could not sit down and just read. I guess I'm a very active person. I like to do things. You know, I want to make vases for the deities. I have some work that I do to make some money. I don't work for the temple anymore. I work for a devotee. Even though I'm old and should be retired, it's still... I decided not to quit because I've taken up a responsibility with the job and I'm just waiting until it ends on its own. You know, every how you follow. Prabhupada said, how you follow is individual. It's up to you. It's not hard and fast. It's not black and white. You know, you hear even for chanting rounds, there's different devotees that were working in those old days, working so hard. And I know personally in Detroit, when I was living there, Govardhan was the temple president. And he was the most wonderful, benevolent caretaker of the devotees. But he wouldn't attend Mangalarti, and he didn't chant his rounds. And this was back in the 70s, when we first moved into the mansion there. And then there was this whole hoop-de-doo, and the GBC wanted to replace him, and he got Kasalya and her husband Madhavananda, and he came to replace Govardhan, and we had a meeting with Satsarup, and he was introducing Madhavananda as the new temple president that did everything right, had good sadhana, and then Prabhupada was in Windsor across the border, the Canadian border, and Satsarup went over there to tell Prabhupada that we had a new president that was going to do everything right. And he came back the next day like a puppy dog with his tail between his legs. And he said, I told Srila Prabhupada that I had replaced Govardhan with Madhavananda, and Prabhupada asked me why. And he said, I told Srila Prabhupada, everyone knows that Govardhan is not chanting his rounds. And he said Prabhupada became very angry, and he smashed his hand on the table, and he said, he's not chanting his rounds, but at least he's honest enough to admit that he's not chanting his rounds. I want him to be the president. And that was the end of Madhavananda's presidency there for 2 days or whatever it was. You know, it's not, there has to be structure. There has to be teachings. There has to be instructions and guidelines. But everyone's an individual. Everyone has different abilities and different faith and different advancement. So we move on according to how we move on, how we choose to go on. Some people put aside Krishna consciousness for years and then come back. You know, like the tortoise and the hare, the race. Some people just do, and then they go away. And then they come back. And they do. And some people are like the tortoise. They just keep on going. You know, I do not have the vision at all to make a judgment. But I would say going forward as well as you can, as much as you can, the ability that you have is the way to go. You know, I don't think there are any hard and fast rules for this. That's my opinion. And I know devotees here that haven't chanted their rounds. And I could venture to guess if you took a real poll of the people that are actually chanting their 16 rounds, you'd be surprised how many people are not. And even following people, some people just cannot do it. They just cannot do it. But like Prabhupada said, even a drunkard should offer his wine to Krishna. We need to move forward however we can, as much as we can. And because we're in a certain position or doing a certain type of sadhana or whatever, if we become proud of how good we're following, and does everyone know I'm there every morning and I do this every day and I'm this and I've been here this long, you know, it's like you're watering watering the weeds along with the devotional creeper. It's not something to be proud of. It's something to be grateful for the facility and the ability to do. Hope that helps.
Yes, Mataji, yes.
Yes, Mataji, yes.
Thank yes, so Mataji, yes.
Thank you so much, Mataji, for sharing. Main thing, so we should try our best. If we can do, but still we go on. Yeah, Mataji, thank you so much.
Well, you don't become discouraged. If you can find somebody, some wonderful devotee that will inspire you, like Vaisheshika, you know, maybe find a partner to read with, maybe find a group to read with, either online or over the phone, you know, through, put your phone on speaker and the other person is reading and you're washing the dishes or sitting there with your child and they're playing, or, you know, you can find a way, look for a way. If you don't find it, that's one thing, but Different devotees inspire you differently. So you have to seek the association of those that inspire you to read more if that's what you want.
Yes, Mataji, that will really help, because we used to read Bhagavad Gita and then now we see the just Bhagavad Gita. I still want to so much from Bhagavad Gita. Yeah, Mataji, we just see the Bhagavad Gita and then not getting fine, means not getting time to read. Maybe, if we associate with the devotee and read, it will really happen, Mataji.
You know, there's a young man here who's a local boy who came with dreadlocks, and he started living in the temple a few years ago, and then he got initiated, and of course he shaved up. He was a brahmachari for some time, but he's really, really into Prabhupada's books and preaching. I mean, it's just like, it must be from another life or something, because he's super into it. So he, in the library up here at the temple, does a class every morning. I think it's a Bhagavatam class in the morning and a Chaitanya Charitamrita in the evening, something like that. He sits in the library and whoever wants to come and join him does. So the girl that lives downstairs, she has two children. One is 7 maybe, and the other one is like 5. And she dresses them up and takes them every day to the class morning and evening. And she has them sit there. I guess they're well-mannered enough. And she goes to these classes. And I asked her, why, you know, you go every single day. And she said, you know, because I won't read on my own, and this makes it so much easier for me. You know, so maybe you can do a Zoom class with somebody, and your kid can be there, and they can be doing their thing, and you could be reading with this other person, and just, you know, get a little group together where you meet. Maybe something like that will work.
Thank you so much, Mataji, for your class.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much for this very inspiring class, especially this latter part. But it's so interesting that you brought up the name of Vaisheshika Prabhu in this context, because when you were saying that there's no hard and fast rule for reading, he was the first person that, you know, popped into my head, you know, for obvious reasons. You know, it's like his name is synonymous with, you know, Chad, right? Chad, what was it? Read a chapter a day or something like that.
Right.
Read a page a day. Yeah. So I'm just wondering, you know, I mean, I don't know, but his mood seems to be that, you know, reading Prabhupada's book is a must. You know, maybe he wouldn't say that, I don't know, but that's the sense that I get, because he's so strong about the reading.
It is a must. It is a must. But, you know, there's different ways to read. You can sit down and study Prabhupada's books, which is actually what he said. But I've also heard him say, you know, Prabhupada said a lot of things at different times. It's not just that he said one thing. I mean, if somebody is like Vaisheshika that has studied Prabhupada's books and can speak eloquently on them and can inspire other people to not only read them but distribute them, you know, he's an empowered person in that way. That's wonderful. And, you know, everyone should read. But there's different ways to read. You know, you can go to Bhagavatam class in the morning, or you can dress the deities on the altar and listen to a class by Srila Prabhupada, a Bhagavatam class. I mean, the books are there. We're supposed to hear. We're supposed to hear from Srila Prabhupada, from the books. That we need. We need that nourishment. We need that knowledge. And I know people that have read the Bhagavatam many times. They sit there and they study, women and men. But that's not something that I've done. It's not something that I, you know, it's just not me. I'm not that type of person.
Okay, yeah, so I really appreciate your saying that basically, you know, hearing a person give lecture on Srila Prabhupada's book is another way of reading.
It's hearing. You're hearing from the Bhagavatam. That's the idea. You're hearing from the Bhagavatam. You're hearing Prabhupada's purports. And then there's also websites like the Bhaktivedanta Vedic Library, where Tulsi Das has paid a devotee to read the whole Srimad Bhagavatam with purports. So you can have an audio book and listen to it in your car, listen to it in your house, and hear the whole Bhagavatam as it is with purports. That's another way you can hear. I mean, if you didn't have people that were expert in certain fields, like Vaisheshika with books, it inspires you to want to pick up a book and start reading, or do a page a day or a chapter a day. You know, he had Chad. He's given seminars here before. And you can, or to distribute Prabhupada's books. It's important. I just listened the other day. And it was either I just read it or I just heard it. Prabhupada was saying that if you do not read or get this knowledge, you will fall down. You know, you can't just glide along, oh, Hare Krishna, and then you're not really understanding the philosophy. But then I've also heard him say that you can understand the philosophy by hearing, you know. So in my mind, I put it together that if I don't learn from the authority of these great souls, I can lose my balance and fall down back into whatever, materialism somehow or other, Maya, you know, I don't want that. So I try and hear or read all the time, actually. And I guess it's keeping me afloat. I hope so.
Yeah. Well, since I'm on the phone, I just also want to repeat in my own words what another Mataji said, that, you know, there's different ways of preaching. And, you know, I really appreciate your way. You say that you're not so scholarly, but there's other ways of preaching, and I think you have a very effective way of preaching, because your preaching comes in a way that we all need it so much, from the heart. You know, you preach your conviction in Krishna consciousness, and that gets conveyed, and it affects at least it affects my heart, and I, you know, judging from the other comments, it's affecting other people's hearts too. So, yeah, just all glory to your particular style of preaching. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I think everyone can preach. Everyone can preach somehow. I mean, it's basically distributing Krishna consciousness that's important. Somehow or other, we've gotten the gift and we're sharing it somehow. And I don't think anyone is better or worse. You know, I think Krishna sees the endeavor and the intention. Okay, what time is it? It is, I'm late. Okay, I've got to go. Sorry.
Okay, thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you so much for your valuable association and nice explanation of questions and answers. So we will end the call here. So thank you so much all for joining. Vancham kalkar vishe ke pasare devi patita na paame be vaishve pe namo nama anant koti vaishvandi ki jai shila prabhu paad ki jai shrimad bhagavatam ki jai har grace jai shri devi mata ji ki jai.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, mata ji. Hare Krishna.
See you next time.